Welcome to a squicktastic episode of the Revengerist podcast of stuff. I hope to disturb all of you this week, including Dr. Tasty.
You want to see my butt?
Commodore Bob.
Hello.
And the Southside Santa.
I'm right here.
For those of you that don't know what Squick is, I think it will become clear. This is a good story, actually. I think it's nice that inmates in Californian prisons are finally allowed to read their werewolf erotica. Werewolf erotica.
Werewolf erotica.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Three-judge panel of the California First District Court of Appeal unanimously ruled that Andrew Martinez, serving a 20-year sentence at Pelican Bay State Prison for multiple crimes, including murder, now can get his hands on a copy of The Silver Crown, which I'm not familiar with, but apparently has a love affair between a werewolf and a female werewolf hunter, you know, star-crossed kind of thing. And, you know, they said that while it lacked serious literary value, it was protected by the First Amendment, and the great number of graphic sexual encounters didn't include any kind of minors or sadomasochism, and the court found, so this will vindicate a lot of werewolf erotica readers, that it is not bestiality. They don't believe that werewolves count.
What amendment?
The First Amendment.
First event.
The very first one.
The one that that our founding father said all men shall be able to read werewolf erotica.
Yes. That's in the Constitution.
Right. I remember now.
Yeah. I blame that on TJ.
I think someone did some time fuckery and changed something, but you know, that sounds familiar.
Right next to public masturbation.
It was, and you should know the Founding Fathers were
kinky. You're allowed to do that. So.
Although, not as kinky as Japanese scientists. How's that for a segue? Japanese scientists have received approval to create human-animal hybrid embryos.
So we're gonna have real-life furries.
Real-life furries, werewolves, yes.
Chimeras. Well, real-life scientifically produced furries, but real furries exist already.
Well, it'll be in a hunting compound.
I think it'll be more like an alchemical lab.
It should end up getting scientifically like manufactured teddy bear humans with, you know, half human, half teddy bear, whatever. Is it illegal to murder them or to eat them?
That's a good question. And it's one that I don't want to answer.
I don't think that they've had the foresight to discuss these things yet. I think they're just jumping right into this.
I think that the researchers said that they want to have these chimeras, these embryos, because they can let them grow up and then if you need, like, a kidney or a liver, then they can harvest it for you. So I guess the idea is that these aren't really people in their minds. I mean, I'm surprised that the people who are against stem cells aren't screaming and coming out against this.
Maybe it'll result in actual werewolves. And then the Silver Crown will actually be a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy in prison, that situation won't even happen anymore because it'll now be more of like an autobiography rather than erotica.
All they really need to do is just have the sayer of the law say it and they'll be fine.
So we had a story about simulated weird animal-human coupling and scientists doing it with cells in a lab. Here's a bow chicka wow wow story for you. In Israel, a man's penis was bitten as he was trying to relieve himself in the toilet by a snake. A snake came up and bit him in the penis. And 35...
Snake on cock action.
A man who was 35 from northern Israel was bitten on Friday after the snake suddenly appeared from inside the toilet. So, nope. Not going to Israel. That's... not going to the bathroom ever and not going to Israel. Those snakes are thirsty. Fucking, that's a real snake.
I've got a friend that just came back from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
and he was talking about how blood urination was a common place. And instead of dudes just walking around with a bit of cock out and then peeing while standing, they'll do that exact same thing, only crouched down on their haunches with their cock hanging out. And then they'll pee crouching in the street. And I don't see the, reason on why you have to end up bending over or bending down in order to end up peeing.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're putting yourself at risk.
Yeah.
If this is a trend and this is a slippery slope, which obviously it is, and we're all in danger of having snakes bite our genitals out of the toilet, I think then that's a case needs to be made for just pissing out on the street, because that's the safer, more reasonable thing to do in that horrible world.
If they end up crouching down, then it makes it easier for the snake to end up jumping up on it. Yeah.
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 When I want to play a prank on someone, I'm just going to buy them a ticket to there. Have fun.
Yeah, or Australia, where, like, everything can kill you. And there's, like, a deadly snake and everything. Like, someone from Australia read this story and was like, that's cute, and then picked up their toothbrush and it had a deadly snake on it. And they just brushed their teeth with a deadly snake. Because that's how they roll in Australia. It's like, oh, your penis got bit by a snake? I've got 3 snakes hanging from my penis right now, mate.
You know,
that's not a snake. This is a snake.
Australians are just full of themselves. They think that their things are better than everybody. And
it's true.
And
they're really the worst.
They're the worst.
Yeah. You know? Now, see, I think that you're mistaken here, and you're confusing themselves with snake venom.
Yeah.
They're not really so much full of themselves as just chock full of snake venom, so they're just okay.
Snake and spider bites.
That's the source of their power. And by power, I mean crippling paralysis and death. Yeah. One last story here in the same vein. This is actually very terrifying, but after the last few stories, The title is unfortunate. The first-hand account of a man, Paul Templer, who was swallowed by a hippo.
In an non-sexual manner?
Well, I knew you were going to ask that. We don't know what the hippo's motives were. Like, maybe this was how the hippo got off, but I'm pretty sure that this was just a terrifying account. I'm going to tell you about it, because his story is absolutely unfucking believable. So Paul Templer, he's described as a badass kayaking river guide, got swallowed by a hippo in Africa, and he lived to tell about it. And he sent this letter to the Guardian. So he reaches over the boat and fell out, and as his friend was trying to pull him back in, he says, "I was engulfed in darkness. There was no transition at all, no sense of approaching danger. It was as if I had suddenly gone blind and deaf. I was aware that my legs were surrounded by water, but my top half was almost dry. I seemed to be trapped in something slimy. There was a terrible sulfurous smell like rotten eggs, and a tremendous pressure against my chest. My arms were trapped, but I managed to free one hand and feel around. My palm passed through a wiry bristles of the hippo's snout. Only then that I realized I was underwater, trapped up to my waist in his mouth. I wriggled as hard as I could, and in the few seconds for which he opened his jaws, I managed to escape. I swam towards Evan, but the hippo struck again, dragging me back under the surface. Hippo's mouths have huge tusks, slicing incisors, and a bunch of smaller chewing teeth, and punctured him 40 times. 40 puncture wounds and bite marks were on his body, and it was just shaking him like a doll, and went berserk, and then tried to drag him to the bottom. Where he just saw his blood rising up in clouds. And I don't know, it doesn't actually tell how he got away. I guess that maybe they killed the hippo and pulled him up, but he managed to live. I mean, I imagine this is probably one of the only people to be attacked by a hippo, the most dangerous of all animals, and survive.
I thought the most dangerous of all animals was a chimpanzee flinging its own feces at everything.
No, that's the most disgusting of all animals at that moment. It's not really deadly. I mean, Having an animal throw his poop at you is
not the most irritating.
Yeah.
E. coli? You ever heard of that?
You're right. E. coli, yeah, can be. But when the... Have you seen a hippo's mouth? I mean, those big, giant, like, tusk teeth things, like, chomping on you? That's the most deadly.
They eat marbles.
They do. They eat those little white round marbles, but when they run out of those and they're hungry, they come in for you.
Or me specifically?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense.
Listen, the moral of the story is don't go to Israel, don't go to Australia, don't go to Africa. Just stay in your house and don't pee in the toilet because a snake might be in there or a hippo.
It does end up act as a glowing endorsement for this podcast. Because where else are you going to hear a man say, wriggle?
I'm glad that's what you got out of that harrowing tale.
Dr. Tasty's jerk who needs to be punched in the face of the week.
Dr. Tasty's jerk who needs to be punched in the face of the week. Is Australians.
how coincidental.
How coincidence. Yeah. So, we were talking about it earlier, but every single Australian person I've ever met has a huge ego problem. Mm-hmm. At least before I blew them up. A huge ego problem. They somehow think that everything in their country is better than everything else. They like to go into detail about stupid, unnecessary things like candies, pastries, and the difference between Australian candies and pastries and American candies and pastries.
Mm-hmm.
Their ego problem is also exacerbated by the danger, quote-unquote, in that country, although I have never seen it, because, I mean, things don't bite me.
And why would you go there? I mean,
there's nothing to do. It's a desert, it has a lot of people in leather running around in these weird cars.
It's Mad Max, basically.
Basically.
Yeah. It's Mad Max Island desert full of snakes surrounded by sharks.
Yeah. And I told them, when I got there, I was like, what are you guys doing? And they said, well, we're fighting for gas. And I said, don't you know that there's the rest of the world? Like,
just buy some from one of the OPEC countries. You're fine.
And before I could call them all stupid convicts, they tried to oust me out of their country with a big old boot. But actually, the reason why their country is a desert wasteland is my fault.
You did that?
I mean, this leads into why they're jerks who need to be punched in the face. But I went there before all that happened, and I realized that they were Dr. Tasty's jerk who needs to be punched in the face of all the time. And I detonated their country. Like, wow. the whole continent.
So it was already awful, and you're responsible for making it more awful.
Whoops.
Which is actually kind of a recurring theme with our misadventures. I think misadventures in the sense of misfiring often. But we had a space adventure a while ago, if you guys recall. So we're going to jump into the War of Galactar. Do you guys remember when we went in space and we had this space adventure?
When have we ever gone into space?
We go into space all the time, like at least once a month. Commodore Bob's moon lab is up there in space. Are you in space? Is anyone in space at this very moment?
I'm on the moon base.
Yes. Teleconferencing from space right now.
No one is in space.
Yes, we've been to space.
No.
Yeah, we did. Look. If you go back through the archives, our many amazing battles, you will find that during the War of Galactar, we were all in space.
War of Galactar?
War of Galactar. Of Galactar.
It was just a normal day on Earth. We see shots of people walking around golf courses, shopping malls, getting coffee, watching movies, ordering large stuffed crust pizzas, getting angry at customer service, and generally celebrating Christmas in March. Freshman Penicillin suddenly announces,
"This is no ordinary day. What the fuck is your problem? Tune into the Revengerous compound."
Inside the compound, we see Harbjar giving orders to scores of interns. Many of them are scrambling around the base, carrying various construction objects like planks and hammers. Harbjar shouts to them,
"We need to get this entertainment stand done by the end of the night, or Dr. Tasty is going to miss the big football game."
One of the interns attempts to notify the master of foremans that there's no football in March, but he is gunned down by a justice man.
"Justice is served, waste."
Off of Earth, we are now on an alien planet full of scary buildings and ruins and stuff. Dr. Tasty is investigating a large structure while eating a bag of Funyuns. He pushes a button and it begins to glow. He thinks to himself,
"Man, I could really go for some ice cream. Why am I eating these nachos?"
This is indicated by a thought bubble that kind of looks like a cloud. Many of you non-comic readers don't know how we can see a person's thoughts. Suddenly, he realizes,
Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
The planet is starting to change. Because the thing he just said was an ancient incantation that changed the planet forever into a living being whose cells are mean robot zealot blobs that want to kill him for being impure. But we, the audience, do not know this yet. We think it is just mean robot zealot blobs, not that they are immune cells. Tasty Doctor easily kills every single of them, but now Galactor has no immunity and gets sick and dies. It is just at this moment that the other living planets show up for the conference in space, and they mad. Dr. Tasty beefs up, real big to fight them all.
"Now I know what is going down."
Back on Earth, the other Revengers have just saved Monaco from the Sand Dollar, a minor league sand-themed villain who is easy to vanquish, but like lots of rich people and stole because Monaco is like wealthy person in them. I learned. Now that they have won, they are discussing going back in time to hollow out the moon and use it as an observatory base.
Unfortunately, there are too many hollowed out time travel shares occupying time and space in the space-time of the Earth-Moon. We will have to use tricky legal techniques to snare the ever-loving eminent domain out of one.
So they set in motion a plan to oust somebody so desperately over trying to be awesome.
So fucking great press corps like Richard Branson and Steve Jobs.
Even though Richard Branson is a notch. But how to do this, they wonder? Jim Beavis gets a bright idea for once.
"So I wonder on the moon, with the people living tar out of the sea jets?"
So, while beating the tar out of Steve Jobs, he gets shot up with cancer rays and the Revengers are digging their sweet new head, completely functioning doomsday device. And Adore Bob always wanted one of them.
"You know, I've always wanted one of those."
But we are not a destructive team, and this is not a Tim for Destruction.
They receive a distress call at a new address and find Mammoth Princess in space, looking hot and mammothy. They look at each other and drop their jaws, and even Oddjog drops his burrito, and they're like, "What the fuck?" For she is an awesome tune of a faraway race that also has clothes. And she is not only the Princess Bob and Galactic and Light, but also master of all any kung fu styles and detector and guard subjects. She says all this, and they ask her, what the fuck is going on? And she drops the bomb on them that she needs their help. Yeah. This is the end of the Revengerous Galactic War Issue 1. Next episode, Crush 2.
That's exciting. I cannot wait for the next installment. I don't know about you guys.
I think this is all false.
Probably. It's all propaganda to make the Revengerous sound great when they're really not.
Well, I don't remember beating up any living planets named Galactor.
Listen, if people can literally not wait for the thrilling next chapter, they can just go on the wiki, the Revengerous Consortium of Stuff, and finish it for themselves and read ahead, which does not get them extra credit because it's cheating and it's cheap. But if you do go on the wiki, I have a recommendation, a page recommendation for you. In keeping with both the squicky nature of the news items today and the hot and mammothy princess of space, and that is the Mammoth Mountain fucker. We've talked about him before, but this is a guy, he's an old hillbilly. He's a friend of Oddjogs, right?
Maybe.
I remember he was part of the team, but like nobody wanted to talk to him because his name was the Mammoth Mountain fucker.
That's what he insisted on going by.
And I thought that meant that he had fucked Big Mammoth Mountain. This mountain called Mammoth Mountain, but that's not what he meant by it at all. He's a mountain man who fucks mammoths.
Yeah, that name's really confusing and misleading.
His power was that he fucked mammoths. And it's really hard to do because mammoths are extinct.
And he wouldn't even just, you know, take off a nice dinner and, you know, invite them home to see his mom and light some scented candles and that sort of shit.
He just
He just robbed them.
I remember he always used to say, "Sorry, guys, I just tripped and my dick fell into this mammoth."
And yeah, but it never actually happened. Like, there were no mammoths.
Well, there are real mammoths out there. I mean, they're just, they're very rare, very hard to find. They're in desolate areas. And that's why
skeletons.
Yeah, I think that's why, or they're frozen. I think that's why.
Also in museums.
Yeah, he would go to the ones at the museums. I think that's, it's better he went off in search of mammoths in like remote parts of the world and the galaxy because he kind of made me uncomfortable. I'm gonna say I felt a little weird about that. And luckily, he never met the beautiful mammoth princess of space.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring him along.
We don't even go to museums.
Commodore Bob, remember when we went to the Carnegie and then we got kicked out because of this guy?
Yeah, so you got me kicked off the board.
I didn't do
it. Told you guys not to go in there, but yet you went in.
It wasn't us, it was this guy. Yeah. We're probably not much better. We were in there messing with the dinosaur bones and all and whatnot.
Well, I didn't know you weren't supposed to eat that.
Hey. Santa, do you have a product recommendation for this week?
Of course I have a product recommendation for this week. Everyone out there should go out and buy Sheer Brand potato chips, specifically their home run flavored hot dogs. Potato chips. These are potato chips, but they taste like hot dogs. It's two products, bam, into one. Ooh. You put it in your mouth from Sheers. I know, this is definitely going to be good. Because I've not tried it. Two products in one, bam, put it in your mouth, great to eat. Sheers. Hot dog flavored potato chips.
Yeah, that's pretty gross. That makes me feel disturbed and uncomfortable inside knowing that product exists. So
I'm already eating.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us again on the podcast this week. Thank all of you out there for listening to us. What do we tell them every week?
You better take the business or you're gonna get fucked.
Business ended the business.
We can't save you. You're fucked.
I mean, that's kind of what I said.
That's kind of what you said. Yeah.
Good night, fucker.